And now it's time for one last bow. Like all your other selves, 11's hour is over now. The clock is striking 12.
The siege of Trenzalore is now begun.
The Time Lord has entered the trap.
Help him change the future. Do it!
The Doctor is regenerating!
If you want my life, come and get it!
Doctor Who on BBC One and BBC One HD.
And welcome to your moment of Who for the time of the Doctor.
Yay! How was your holiday? Mine was tiring.
I would say the same. Busy.
It was just physically and emotionally and mentally draining.
Yes.
Just like we expected the time of the Doctor to be.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about Christmas.
Why not both?
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
Hang on. Just something I have to check.
Where do we even start? Casey, where do we start?
Well, for one thing, Matt Smith is gone now.
Well, yes.
We need to go over our thing first. This is Moment of Who. This is our first reactions to anything. It's not necessarily a review or an analysis. And our reaction was a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, my immediate reaction on the evening of Christmas was, huh? And I have since, I watched it again this afternoon, and I'm less confused because I purposely paid attention and even took notes, but still somewhat confused by the choices that were made in making this story.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I did not watch it a second time. I think I'm one of those people who, when I think first reactions, I don't watch it a second time. I don't really read a lot of the reviews after I watch it. But from the reviews I read, a lot of them were confused too.
I saw a couple reactions on Facebook, mostly people trying to be spoiler-free. Mm-hmm. And at the very beginning, right away, I saw lots of people praising it. And since, I've seen people either being confused and even a couple people who were angry.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, overall, after my second watch, because I didn't read any professional reviews and I haven't been to Tumblr or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But after my second watch, I just feel like so much was smashed into an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah, it was a lot. I really think that was the fault of the episode. Because, honestly, Trenzalore could have been its own season.
Absolutely.
I would have loved to have gone on that journey. And maybe that happened because Matt was leaving. I guess he decided that earlier this year.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well, that this whole story could have been an entire season.
And it probably would have been a fantastic one.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like everything, like the kitchen sink, the dog, the bananas, everything was just thrown in there.
The fish fingers and custard, too.
The fish fingers, yeah, those came back.
But somehow with everything that was jammed in, and every enemy it seems we've ever seen, except the Zygons, who presumably are still locked under the Tower of London. Even with all of this in there, I kind of got bored.
There were just too many plots to keep track of, honestly. I don't know. Like, there were parts that I loved, obviously.
Yeah.
The conversation between the Doctor and Clara at the very beginning when they're on the phone.
I love the entire beginning. Up to the opening credits, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved the Dalek ship. I loved walking onto the Cyberman ship. I loved the conversation with Clara. But once again, I was confused as to why we weren't picking up either right at the end of the anniversary special or right at the end of Series 7. So am I remembering the end of Series 7 wrong? they were in the time stream, and the Doctor's mm-hmm. holding Clara, and John Hurt turns around, and that's the end, right?
Yep, that's correct.
According to the wiki, they left. Like, the Doctor turned and left and led Clara out of the time stream, and then John Hurt leaves. If that happened, it had to only be in the British broadcast, because that did not happen in the American broadcast.
I don't remember that either. I just remember the last shot being John Hurt, and then it says, John Hurt as the Doctor. And then credits, woo-wee-oo. You don't see how they leave the time stream. I think Stephen Moffat was just at a point where he went, I don't know how to explain this. Onward and upward.
I don't know, because we have the name of the Doctor, then the day of the Doctor, then the time of the Doctor, all in a row. You would think they would kind of go together, but they're completely disjointed.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what you can say about the plot of this episode, I think, as well. It's completely mm-hmm. disjointed.
Yeah. And again, there are parts that I liked. Matt Smith being naked for no reason was funny. He's just like, we're going to church!
Before we get accused of being haters, should we discuss all the parts that we liked?
Yes, let's discuss the parts that we liked, because there are parts that I liked.
I said I loved the opening, all the stuff before the credits. I also really liked the wooden Cyberman.
I wasn't as big a fan of the wooden Cyberman because it reminded me of the Doctor, the wardrobe, and the whatever.
Yeah, the trees, tree people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just a little too close to that for me. I did like the church in general. I thought that was a very interesting element to bring up. Honestly, it could have been an episode of its own, but the character of Tasha was interesting. I like that actress. I don't know if I've seen her anywhere before.
I liked the whole backstory that gave us. Of course, mm-hmm. it was a blink and you miss it backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were, apparently, we find out, back in time. And the papal mainframe becomes the Church of the Silence.
Mm-hmm.
And she describes the sect that broke off and went back in time. And they become the Silence that Amy meets. And they're the ones who genetically engineered River Song. And, you know, all, just all sitting down at this parlay table in a matter of a couple minutes, we get this huge backstory explaining an entire season of mm-hmm. the show. And I liked the explanation. I just wish it was delivered differently.
Like, me too.
I think it's super clever that the Silence, the monsters that we know of as the Silence, were engineered as confessors. So mm-hmm. once you confess your sin, you forget your sin. I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like the idea of a planet where there's some sort of shield up and you automatically have to tell the truth. So that way people can know who they can and cannot trust.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the tip of the hat to the fact that Matt Smith had to shave his head for a movie role. And Clara said, you just got bored, didn't you? And he said, yeah, a little bit.
I like the old age makeup, too. Not the first one. I thought the first one looked weird. But the second one, when he's really old,
mm-hmm.
I thought that looked fantastic. And, of course, he was fantastic. He played that so well. He can act circles around pretty much anybody.
Mm-hmm. I remember talking to Stephanie at Austin Comic Con, and I think I probably brought this up in the last moment of Who, where we discussed that Matt Smith is really good at the goofy and the funny, but the angsty is harder to read because he was younger when he started. But now that he's older, he has a range he didn't have 4 years ago. And he was just amazing. Not just in this episode, but also in season 7A and season 7B, The Day of the Doctor.
I mean, it's been said before by so many people, but you truly believe that he is a super, super old man mm-hmm. in a young man's body. He does that so incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. I think it was harder for him to do that in earlier seasons, but this past year, he just stood up to the task and it worked so well. I'm so thrilled with his performance. And Jenna Louise Coleman as Clara was really good as well, especially in her moment with the older doctor, where yes. he's frail and she's helping him and being very sweet. And it was heart-wrenching.
I'm really starting to get a feel for Clara again.
Yeah. I think this episode is kind of what brings Clara back to what we wanted to see yeah. from Clara.
Also, his last speech, his regeneration speech, was really beautiful. Yeah. And it was, you know, it's one of those moments of, is the doctor saying this or is Matt Smith saying this? Mm-hmm. And he's saying, I won't forget one line of this. I'll always remember when the doctor was me. Mm-hmm. That was really, really great.
Yeah. It was definitely a beautifully written moment. And kudos to Stephen Moffat for that, because he's so good at dialogue. And when he's able to hit those touching moments, he hits them hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing with Clara's speech to Through the Crack in the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, the doctor is the only name he needs was very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that also makes me ask more questions.
Yeah. I really wish Matt Smith would have done another season, so that way Trenzalore could have been its own
yeah.
thing. But one of the weird things that I know it's the Christmas episode, and sometimes they have to go cheesy, but A Town Called Christmas? Really? Is that necessary? Because then it reminds me of The Town Called Mercy, and I'm like, what?
Oh.
Why are you naming these towns weird things?
Why can an island be called Easter? I did very much enjoy the idea of the doctor settling down and becoming this Geppetto/Doc Brown kind of figure.
Me too.
Where he's like a toy maker and a sheriff and like the wise old crazy guy in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
The thing where Moffat confuses me is that in one episode we see the future at Trenzalore, that the doctor sees his final resting place.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very next episode, he meets the curator, who pretty much outright tells him, you're going to continue to regenerate and eventually become me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize these are contradictory, right? In this episode, the doctor seems to completely forget the encounter with the curator and seems convinced that he's going to die.
I know!
Right? And along those same lines, at the 50th anniversary, he says that Gallifrey will be frozen in a moment of time. So how exactly are they trying to break through from the parallel universe? How can they take any action to ask Doctor Who or to send a new regeneration cycle through the crack in the wall?
Did they just thaw? I don't get it.
I don't know. Something must have happened to release them from their stasis or whatever it is. Because they're basically putting them in a stasis cube, although it's not a cube.
Don't cross the streams.
So confused. I mean, I realize this is a science fiction kid show and science is used loosely, but I still mm-hmm. like it when things can make sense.
I'm going to bring up Joss Whedon.
Okay.
Because right now he's the only example I can think of right now. When he wrote Buffy, and this is something I admire about him, because he thought after every season they were going to get canceled. They were going to get canceled, and he was never going to write for it again. So he's just like, okay, we are going to tie up as many things as possible. When we'll reference the season before, and we'll bring it to a close. Kept getting renewed. So this whole mythology of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Sunnydale, he was able to build upon, because Buffy just would not die until season 7, the TV show. Buffy died twice. But it seems like with Stephen Moffat, he may have too much mythology to choose from, and he seems to also forget the mythology that he himself is building. Like, it seems to me that writers that I respect, like Neil Gaiman and Joss Whedon and all those, kind of take note of what they do and are a little more organized And maybe Stephen Moffat had a harder time because Sherlock started filming again last year. Right. And
well, there's this idea, at least in fantasy literature, of the system of magic, where mm-hmm. like it is the rules that the universe you're working in is governed by, and they don't have to be the rules of our universe, of the real universe, but they're the rules of the universe you're working in, of course, and you follow those rules
mm-hmm.
while you're creating it. Of course, there was the scene when the Doctor is starting to regenerate on top of the clock tower thing, and he screams, "Never ever tell me the rules." It felt to me like that was Stephen Moffat saying to the fan base, "Never ever tell me the rules." But maybe that's me, and I was just being a little cranky.
Well, I think it works for the Doctor because the Doctor as a character doesn't follow the rules. But in terms of storytelling, it just seems weird that the Doctor meets a future version of himself and then completely forgets about it. He's just like, "I'm gonna die. We're on Trenzalore."
But doesn't forget about what he did to save Gallifrey and is convinced that it worked. And the curator told him that it worked. But he seems to forget the rest of what the curator told him, such as, "You're not going to die." I just don't get it.
It's so funny. Plot holes are fun.
You can call me a Tennant fangirl if you want. But that whole, you know, the 10th Doctor regenerated once and kept the same face. I had vanity issues yet then. It's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Is that a jab at Tennant? Is that a jab at RTD? Who are you? Like, come on. It just felt unnecessary to me.
Yeah. That felt unnecessary to me, too. I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem like it counts.
Yeah.
Like, I can probably understand the warrior because...
No, I get that. That counts.
Yeah, I think I understand that. I think that counts because they basically stole a regeneration from him.
Well, it was a regeneration that didn't call itself the Doctor.
Yeah.
But it was still a regeneration.
Right.
But then this whole, like, what about River giving up all of her regenerations? He used them all at once?
I know!
Where did those go? And I assume, well, he says that he got a new regeneration cycle. So is a cycle a regeneration as we think of it, or is a cycle 12 regenerations?
I hope it's 12 regenerations. I don't want to think that hard about it.
Another weird explanation again.
Yes. Goodness gracious.
I don't know. So yeah, those are my biggest questions. Are how is Gallifrey asking a question if it's frozen, and why doesn't the Doctor remember his conversation with the curator?
That was one of my biggest things, was the conversation with the curator. And again, I like the idea of the Doctor settling down somewhere and protecting a town. I think that would have been an interesting arc for season 8.
Yeah.
Like, near the end. But, alas, that didn't happen. And plus, it messes with the numbering of the Doctors. Do we still call Capaldi 12?
Yes.
Or do we call him...
Yes. I don't know. I feel confused, conflicted, because I was so gung-ho about the 50th anniversary special.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm feeling almost, not really the opposite, but confused, let mm-hmm. down by this. I question if there's something wrong with me, like if I'm watching this show wrong.
I don't think there's anything wrong with anybody. I mean, I don't like it when people say it's a kid's show, because it started as a kid's show, yes, but it's kind of like what we say about Jim Henson. Jim Henson never treated children like they were children.
Right.
And I think RTD used this excuse. I think Stephen Moffat has used this excuse. And I'm like, stop doing that.
It's a kid's show, to me, does not excuse things not making sense.
I agree.
Because there's that story of William Hartnell, I think, right? Saying, you know, I can't use that button to open the door. The other button opens the door. Because kids will notice these things.
Yeah.
Kids are more likely to notice this type of plot hole than adults are, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what I was thinking? I'm wondering if I would have liked this episode more if Matt Smith had regenerated in the Day of the Doctor and the whole Christmas episode was about Peter Capaldi's Doctor. not about Trenzalore anymore. I think I would have liked it more if the whole episode were about Peter Capaldi.
And just losing this plot entirely?
Yeah.
So you're saying you would have preferred that this episode were completely different?
I think it would have been more interesting to have seen the relationship between Peter Capaldi and Clara, mm-hmm. and that change, just like the change between the 10th Doctor and Rose in the Children of Need episode, because during the Christmas invasion, he was unconscious for most of it. But I think I would have preferred it more if it were the town called Christmas, as cheesy as that name is, and protecting that rather than being about Trenzalore, having the town called Christmas on a different planet, and also dealing with the church thingy, the papal. I can't do names. I just dealt
papal
with the holidays.
Mainframe.
Yeah, I just dealt with holidays. I don't need names.
It was, I mean, we said it before, it was just so much in a tiny space.
Trenzalore and Christmas with Clara's family and the Doctor aging and the Cybermen trees and the Daleks.
And the everything ever.
And the everything.
Yeah, when it got down to it, I didn't necessarily mind the crack being how Gallifrey was pushing through, although I still don't know how Gallifrey is pushing through. Mm-hmm. But when he first found it, when they landed close to the transmission site and turned the corner and there was the crack in the wall, I'll admit that I rolled my eyes.
Mm-hmm. I rolled my eyes too. And then it did the flashback to the God Complex where he opened the door and it was just like the crack in the wall. And I looked at that and I thought, that's your greatest fear from the God Complex?
Right. You know, people complained about Tenet's sort of like farewell tour where he goes to see all of his companions and everyone he's worked with. I feel like Matt Smith just did that. Well, not a tour, but like all of the villains came to him.
Yeah.
And he didn't see Rory in this episode, and he didn't see River in this episode. But the flashback to Amy, maybe it's because I don't really like Amy, and it's that I don't like the way she treats her husband. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it so much when he was just remembering Amelia, but that whole scene with Amy Pond, I was not really a fan of. But like every villain he's encountered was in this episode. Mm-hmm. To the point where I was just like, really? Why don't you throw somebody else in there, too?
You know, I was just thinking about the hallucination stuff. I think I would have preferred if the Doctor was going to have hallucinations, maybe have hallucinations as he's getting older, and have, as much as I'm not a fan of her, have a hallucination of River Song, have a hallucination of Amy earlier, have a hallucination of Rory as well. Then just have the final moment be on Clara, because I feel like she was kind of gypped in the Doctor's final moments. I feel like the whole focus became, oh, look, it's the first face he ever saw, and it's not about us, the audience, or Clara anymore. It's all about Amy.
Well, and we never really got to see a whole lot of chemistry between this Clara, 21st century Clara, and the Doctor. But what we did see when, you know, that character was the clever character that we liked in Asylum of the Daleks and last year's Christmas special and the 50th anniversary special, they were great together. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm looking forward to see how she works with Capaldi. I'm very much looking forward to Peter Capaldi's Doctor.
I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a lot of fun. And I, like, everyone has on Tumblr, everyone on Facebook, everyone on the internet everywhere loves posting GIFs of Peter Capaldi cursing up a storm. And and they're like, this is going to be our Doctor. This is what we want to see. And I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no. I feel kind of lukewarm about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There were parts that I really, really loved. And I don't think there was anything that I explicitly hated.
No.
Like, hated.
No. I believe that the parts that didn't quite fit were more mediocre.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't anything I hated. There were just things that didn't make sense to me or didn't make sense for characters. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, I had a wish list of things I wanted to see. And some of them were met, some of them weren't. And that's okay. I'm not going to get anything. But there's actually a review that I read before watching the episode, and it wasn't spoilery at all. But someone summed it up perfectly for me. The reviewer said, "It just seems like Stephen Moffat sat down and was writing, and when he saw something that didn't quite make sense, he was just like, I'll work on that later. And he just had so many of those things that he didn't get around to making those fit together." Hmm. And I honestly think that he had a plan, but as soon as Matt Smith announced that he was leaving, he decided to wrap all of that up, and he's probably going to start fresh with Capaldi. And that's probably why we're not going to get Doctor Who until September of next year.
Is it September?
I read September.
What?
I know!
See, as meh as I feel about it, I'm still upset that apparently we're not going to get any more until September. That can't be right.
This is what love is.
So we've talked what we liked, we talked what we're confused about, we talked a little bit about the stuff we didn't really like, which was mostly things... I think it was mostly me. And things that I felt like were jabs at other parts of the Hooniverse.
Yeah.
I feel so strange. I feel almost like a hypocrite. Because I was like, if people are angry about the 50th anniversary, they just want to be grumpy. And apparently I am now a person about the Christmas special who just wants to be grumpy.
I don't know. I mean, nothing's going to stop me from liking anything or being disappointed by anything.
Yeah.
But you're not going to stop other people from having opinions. I think if you're honest about the fact that there are problems with an episode and that the episode also has great things, then your opinion is valid. Whatevs.
Aw. So we did also hear from Meds, who sent us an email.
Good day, evening, or whatever time it is. So Matt Smith and his wig have departed the fourth dimension and landed in the West End playing an American Psycho. I'm sad to see the floppy-haired fellow go. He gave a classic feel to Doctor Who, which in my opinion had been missing since 2005. His last series, I feel, was one of his best. I loved the chemistry between the Doctor and Clara, especially in the time of the Doctor, and I wish she had come into his life a lot earlier. Actually, I wish she was with them rather than the Ponce, but hey-o! So his swan song... My initial response was one of glee and slight satisfaction. I liked the emotion, and it was an entertaining episode. Trouble was, I was looking so much towards Capaldi popping up in a light of glory that I ended up wishing the time away. Looking back and watching it again, I still enjoyed the episode. It's not the strongest, and some of the past strings of the stories really didn't come together, but Smith's acting polished all that off. Some people have moaned, as is usual with Doctor Who fans, even to the point of saying that some scenes were knocking religion. Really? Tosh, I say. There are plenty of planets out there, and if they have life on them, you can bet your bottom Gallifreyan dollar that they will have some sort of church there, so don't think you're the only species with some form of faith. So the surprise cameo from Pond, nice touch if you liked her. I smiled. The regeneration. I loved Matt as the old Doctor. Great stuff. And you know they should have had Capaldi in the rubble, all glowing and in a daze. That would have been a good move. Have Clara drag him to the TARDIS, start the old girl off into flight, and then have his kidney line. That's actually a good point.
I like that idea a lot. If there was just this, like, glowing rubble with Peter Capaldi in it. The email continues.
Capaldi already looks excited to be there. Well, he would be. He's a lifelong Doctor Who fan, and I can't wait to see what he does with the role. All in all, I think the end of Matt's tenure could have been a little bit tighter in places, but all in all, a good episode with good comedy moments, a few touching speeches, and a crazed-looking new Doctor. I'll have more of that. Your Time Lord voice at the beginning and end of Anomaly Supplemental, Meds. P.S. Happy New Year!
Sent from his iPhone.
Thank you, Meds.
We also got an email from Greg from the Inappropriate Conversations podcast. He says, Sue Casey and all, I was tempted at first to call this year's Christmas episode my favorite yet, but I think it falls short of the last two for me. Seems odd to fret about it, since the Christmas episodes tend to be a special sort anyway. The problem for me is that I don't enjoy farewell episodes, and no Slack I Give a Christmas theme can cover for that. This one wasn't as bad as the extended visitations by Tennant's doctor. I just don't react well to that kind of targeted sentimentality. That said, it was a fitting send-off for Smith. I'll miss him and always think of him as my first doctor. Happy holidays. Thanks, Greg! And one more email from Michelle. Hello, my fellow geeks. I loved the newest Christmas episodes. I can see the flaws that other people have raised, like a Time Lord aging, the silence just being priests of a church, and why did Amy show up? But they just added up to one big bang of a send-off. The Christmas episodes tend to be huge, epic works of jumbled enthusiasm, like the Titanic episode. So by now I've gotten used to the over-the-top, stuff as much action as possible into 1.5-hour show. I'm going to miss Matt Smith, and this episode made me realize that I wasn't quite ready for a new doctor. But really, who is ever ready for a new doctor? I think Matt Smith brought a lot to the role in general, and his last episode made me reflect on his super long run with nostalgia. However, my favorite moments are always going to be when the doctor's enemies always realize too late they should always be afraid of him. Especially the Daleks. Seriously, do they never learn? And he stands triumphantly as they flee. I can't wait to see how an, quote, old companion comes to grips with a, quote, new doctor. We haven't had that happen in a very long time. Meanwhile, I will go back and rewatch some Matt Smith episodes. Anyone have a list of their favorites to share? Thanks, Michelle. Do we have anything else to say about this episode?
Well, I am going to miss Matt Smith.
Absolutely.
I really grew to like him a lot. Is he my favorite doctor? He's pretty close to Tennant, but I would say Tennant is still my doctor. I'm excited to see what Capaldi does.
Well, that was my next question. What are your hopes for Series 8 for Capaldi?
I'm looking forward to the change in relationship between Clara and the doctor. Because like Clara said, on Christmas she fancied 11 and she was really attached to 11. And that's going to change because for one thing, the doctor has an older face now. And also, it's not, quote-unquote, her doctor.
Right. I'm excited to see what that relationship is going to be.
Yeah. And I'm also wondering how long Jenna Louise Coleman is going to be in that season. Maybe that's going to be her last season? Maybe she's going to continue? I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited to see Peter Capaldi in the more dramatic moments, as well as his comedy moments, because he excels at both. He's so good at both.
He's going to be playing a part that's so different from what I think most people who know him as are used to.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a very sensical sentence.
Yeah.
He's a villain more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. I'm excited. And I felt, maybe I'm just looking for it, and so many people have been comparing Clara to Rose lately, but when they were up meeting the Mother Superioress, she had a touch of Donna in her. You know, hello, mm-hmm. over here, Clara. That, you know, I was expecting, and I'll have a salute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the kind of relationship I love between the Doctor and his companion, is that sort of best mates relationship rather than one of puppy love.
Technically, they had that with Amy and the Doctor.
There were a lot more undertones there.
There were too many undertones there. You know what? I'm excited to see Stephen Moffat write for an older character, because he's been writing for the young ones for a while.
I'm glad that he finished telling the story he wanted to tell with Matt Smith's Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping now that starting fresh is actually starting fresh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that we do go on our quest to find Gallifrey.
Me too.
And not just revisit the crack in the fabric of the universe a couple more times. But we'll see. We'll see, I guess, sometime between August and September.
You want to know what I want in the next season?
What?
More time, ladies.
Well, if Gallifrey returns, you might have them.
If the Master was just hanging about somewhere in the universe, there has to be a Time Lady somewhere.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Master come back.
Same here.
Maybe the Master regenerates into, like, Maleficent or something. What if the Master was a lady?
I want it!
So, before we go, we did receive some comments from our listener, Amber, who traveled to the Doctor Who celebration in London and saw the special in a theater there as well on that trip.
This is Amber from Portland, Oregon, and I'm here with a very belated review of the Doctor Who convention, or 50th anniversary party in London. Yes, I actually traveled 5,000 miles to go to the 50th anniversary celebration with my best friend, and it was a lot of fun. It was probably most fun because she'd never been to any sort of convention before and didn't really understand when I told her, hey, there's going to be panels and there's going to be this and that. And we got there, and Tom Baker and Peter Davidson and Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy came out. She was just like in total shock because she wasn't expecting them to actually be there. But it was a lot of fun to sit in on the panels and hear about, you know, days gone by and how things got filmed. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, and getting to hear Matt Smith and Jenna and Stephen Moffat talk about various things about filming, and the special effects guy talking about how he can't tell Matt Smith to do anything because he never listens. And it was a blast, and they really did a good job incorporating the kids, I thought, into things. At one point in the special effects show, they had a Cyberman come break out into the stage area, and they're like, is there a doctor in the house? And they brought up this adorable little doctor dressed as Matt Smith and gave him this gun that was three times the size of him to shoot the Cybermen with and all that kind of good stuff. But yeah, I'd say overall there were a lot of things we didn't end up getting to do, but it was a full day, and you know, just being there with so many Whovians was an absolute blast and totally worth the trip. Because we were in London for the party, we went to a theater there and got to see it in 3D, which is not usually a favorite thing of mine, but for some reason I could actually see it. I'm not sure how they filmed it differently, but that was cool. Most of the people that we saw dressed up there, we had seen at the party earlier, so there weren't that many new costumes per se. But there was a Cassandra, which I thought was pretty awesome. As for the episode itself, I absolutely loved the way that Billy Piper and David Tennant were incorporated into it. I was concerned that we were going to go into that dimension again, and it just kind of seemed to be pointless to have this other dimension that's closed off if you keep reopening it. So I really liked Billy Piper as the Moment, and I thought her portrayal of Rose but not Rose was excellent. And, you know, David Tennant did look older. But, you know, overall, I kind of enjoyed it. I'm still not sure how I feel about the whole John Hurt doctor. And I guess we'll see on Christmas what happens with the search for Gallifrey and all of that. But overall, I liked it. It wasn't as much of a disappointment as I was kind of planning on. So anyway, there you go. Short and sweet, because I've got a great Dane that wants attention, and I'm afraid he's going to bark while I'm chatting with you. So there you go.
Thank you, Amber. Leaving space for comments makes us feel silly.
Like, honestly, I'm glad that she had that opportunity
to totally.
Go to London. Yeah.
That sounds like a blast. And I'm also glad that you weren't as disappointed as you thought you were going to be with the anniversary special.
That's good.
Although I'm sorry you thought you were going to be disappointed, although I guess I can kind of understand it.
There's fear there.
Yeah.
So, Sue, I've been thinking.
A dangerous pastime.
I know.
I don't want to abandon Moment of Who, because I love dedicating entire episodes to Doctor Who.
Of course.
And while I have seen some older Who, I haven't seen a lot of it. I've seen maybe
two of the serials, and they've both been from Tom Baker.
Okay.
So our next newer Who moment of Who is probably not going to happen until Peter Capaldi comes back.
Right.
So I suggest...
It's fun for me to pretend to not know what you're about to suggest.
I know, right? Acting! So I suggest that for each Doctor, Doctors 1 through 7, people pick the best episode from their tenure. And we're going to have reaction videos to those.
Not videos.
Or videos. Audio. We're going to have reaction audio to those. Reaction moment of Who's. And then, before Capaldi shows up, we'll watch the Doctor Who movie with Paul McGann, who is number 8. Does that sound fair?
That sounds fantastic. Although, like a lot of work, because we will also be putting out Anomaly supplementals during this time. But if you're a classic Who fan, be on the lookout for a poll, I suppose, in the... Or a question, a poll or a question in the Anomaly podcast group on Facebook asking mm-hmm. you to recommend your favorite William Hartnell episode to us. So we'll start at the very beginning.
It's a very good place to start.
It is.
Musical references. All right. So that about wraps it up. Thanks, Matt Smith.
Goodbye, sweetie.
Aww.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or if you like hearing the sound of your own voice, like I do, you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-GEEK. Yes, it's one of those numbers that you can use alphabets on, and that's 248-419-4335. To stay up to date with Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental News, you can follow them on Twitter at Anomaly Podcast. That's the at symbol, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y-podcast.com. Theme music is used by permission of Marion Call. Thank you, Marion. Find out more at mariancall.com. Or, of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Marion Call. That's MarianCall. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Say that three times fast.
The world is much too interesting to entertain ennui, and I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic, because I don't require approval in the end.
Are we fangirls?
A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Okay. Just checking.